Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
In Colossians chapter 4, Paul writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, in order that I might make it clear in the way that I ought to speak." Again, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, Paul says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified just as it did also with you, and that we might be delivered from a perverse and evil men, for not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." I believe that when God's people answer the calling to go into the world, not only will God open doors into the hearts of people so that we might have opportunity to share His love and to spread His message, I believe that He knocks doors down. I believe that He kicks them open. And I believe that when we go marching as His people, God makes things happen. Tonight I want to share with you a little bit of our End of the City missions as we took part in it this summer, and a little bit of what's fixing to happen on Wednesday night as we jump back into our school year. What a beautiful bridge that has been built for us. Jesus, who is our only hope. I want you to go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 6 if you have your Bibles. If not, we're going to look at the verses up on the screen. I actually plugged them in as New American Standard, and then I picked up my New King James Version. So I'm actually going to read them from the screen tonight. But I wanted to spend tonight, if we're going to think about the opportunities that we have to share the love of Jesus, I want us to understand how significant that is. And I'm going to tell you this. I believe it, that the more in touch that we are with people who are lost, the more significant the love of Jesus becomes in our lives. The more we see the brokenness of this world, and I told myself I wasn't going to do this tonight. I can't talk about this ministry and about what our teenagers are doing and about what this church is doing without getting emotional, because God is moving through Graymere into the community. But the more we see the loss of this world and the more we spend time with the broken of this community, the more we understand the significance of a Savior who saves us from our sins. Romans chapter 5, I think I said 6, but Romans 5 beginning in verse 6, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." As I read this passage, I can't help but picture the bridge image in my mind. The fact that we are on one side and God is on the other, and there is nothing we can do to get to Him. There's nothing that we can construct. There is no amount of work that we can set our minds to or set our bodies to in action that can get us across the chasm. It has to be Jesus. And so through Jesus, we have been reconciled or brought back to God. Let's keep going. As we skip down to verse 15. "But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died,
Much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Verse 17. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Tonight we're talking about what it is to build bridges, but I want us to understand that Jesus is the bridge. We're only going to take people across it. It is our opportunity to reach out in the community and begin taking one life at a time, one hand at a time, and simply marching them to the bridge, Jesus himself, so that they can cross over and have a relationship with Jesus. And so here's a little bit of how this happened this year. This summer in July, we had the opportunity to piggyback off of what was already taking place with our End of the City ministry on Wednesday nights. And I want to go ahead and say that John Winchester, our mission minister, this was kind of his idea to say, hey, why don't we stay home this summer and just utilize what we already have going for us in the community? Of course, we jumped all over that, and it ended up being a phenomenal opportunity. John spent much of the week before getting all of the things prepared that needed to go towards us being able to do the first part of our effort, which was a mobile giveaway day, so to speak. On all three of our days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, our goal was to try to reach 140 families literally every single day. And so by my calculations, my guess is we probably ended up reaching upwards of maybe two to 250 families, if you think about the fact that not all of those families would have come all 3 days. So every single day, we would set up station in the community called Creekside. This is the community that is behind the Carmack Boulevard Church of Christ. If you turn right next to their church building and just keep going straight back on the right, you're going to see the Creekside community. And all 3 days, we set up camp there. Our team, which by the way consisted of around 20 teenagers, and then every single day adults would show up and also take part. I think in the mornings, our kitchen crew fed us, and I think they cooked for, I think the plan was about 50 to 70. They probably could have fed about 80 or 90. Does that sound about right, Jack? So we were well prepared to go into the field that day. But as the adults would show up, we'd load up the buses. We would end up taking all three of our buses at some point during the day to get everybody out to Creekside and to begin the work that we were trying to do. So every day in Creekside, we would show up. We would put the bags together, 144 different brown paper sacks that had different items in them. And then some of our teenagers and adults would go door knocking around the Creekside community. They would load the bus and go to Southern Hills. And then once we had the bags done, we would even have buses that would cart the bags to the Southern Hills community and also the North Ridge community. Now, these communities that I'm talking about, you may not be as familiar with, but if I told you that it's the community behind Shoney's, that's Southern Hills / Oakwood community. North Ridge is by the old, is it the Pepsi plant? Coca-Cola plant. I always get those two mixed up. Behind the Coca-Cola plant up north of town across from behind the pediatric clinic. And so those were the three communities that we were trying to focus on. Up until now, and for the most part, we will continue to run most of our bus ministry out of the Creekside and the Southern Hills / Oakwood community. And so we already had a great relationship with the people that were living there. But just think about the opportunity that we had to reach 144 families every single day with different items. That's a big deal, because of the generosity of this church. The fact that we were able, I'm going to show you in just a second what all we put in those bags, and I want you to understand that we are blessed as a congregation when it comes to the generosity of you as a people. Thank you for that. Thank you for continually giving to our mission efforts. I believe that this church stands behind and believes in 100% the calling of God. And that's why he is moving through Graymere right now. So this is what that looked like. On Monday was personal hygiene day. Toilet paper, soap, deodorant, toothpaste, toothbrushes, 144 bags with all of those things piled into each bag. Now, I want you to imagine how much that might have cost over the course of a week. Tuesday, when you continue to add all these things up, household supplies, paper towels, antibacterial wipes, spray cleaner, laundry detergent, dishwashing soap. This stuff is expensive. It blows my mind when you go to buy a package of paper towels and a package of toilet paper, and you end up walking out of the store having spent $25 for paper products, right? So now put this in 144 bags, and you see what was necessary to make all of this happen. On Wednesday, we knew that some of the items that needed to be had were bedding items, sheets and pillows and that sort of thing, but not everybody needed that, but we also knew that some people needed baby items, but not everybody needed that. And by the way, let me say this, that Miss Donna Anderson, who is one of the housing managers at the Columbia Housing Authority, kind of helped make a lot of this possible as far as numbers. If some of you may know her or have run into her or known her in the past, if you have an opportunity, be sure and send her a thank you. Or if you run into her, just say thank you for her help. She actually gave us a breakdown of all the numbers in all three of the housing communities and said, here's how many people live in each of the communities. Here's how many children there are. Here's how many older people there are. I mean, it was amazing. And so we were able to do this in a way that there wouldn't be much left over, which was really a blessing to us. So Wednesday was sheets and pillows or diapers, cream bottles, teething toys, pacifiers, and wipes. They got to choose one of those, but then every family that came that day got to walk away with a sack full of groceries. It was an awesome week of just the ability that we had to give to the needs of this community. Sean, I don't know what's going on here, so I'm just going to start pointing at you and let you kind of do that. Here's some of the pictures of our teenagers and adults. One of our goals early on in our Into the City ministry was that we would kind of be able to develop an intergenerational ministry that is going out and doing the work of the church. And part of our goal, even leading up to this trip, is that as we're involved in those Wednesday nights, our teenagers are helping lead the program on Wednesday nights. They're helping teach the classes and do the skits and lead the songs and play the games and the arts and crafts, but they're also accompanied by a team of adults. And what you're going to notice as you see these pictures is that it wasn't just a bunch of teenagers out there doing all the work. It was adults as well. Teenagers and adults and children. We had children, families with young children who would come and share in the work and be involved in what was going on as well. We even had some of the community children that would show up and spend time with us all day long. And so you see some of ours kind of helping with the community raised garden that they have. And one of the girls standing there with her big clump of grass, as they were learning how to weed and do different things like that. So all day long, we would have the opportunity to hand out the goods, to door knock, to let them know about the upcoming Into the City ministry program that's starting back on Wednesdays. And then some of us had the opportunity to help build a bridge that was needed. Several years back, the bridge that went over the big culvert in the Creekside community had been washed away. They tried to replace it, I think, with just one that kind of sets on the ground. And so they said, hey, we have a need. We have a need to build a bridge. And we said, well, it might be an ugly bridge, but you'll get a bridge. And so several of us spent all day long on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday building that bridge. And JD, one of our teenagers from our Into the City ministry, came out there. He didn't stick around all the time. But he would come and he'd put a screw in a board every once in a while, and then I'd be like, hey man, can you lift that board? Man, I got to go over here. I'm getting really thirsty. But he would spend time and help us out. And several of the kids came over and were involved in what was going on. So we had the opportunity to build them a bridge. Now that's what was taking place during the day, kind of at a glimpse. What happened each night is we would go back to the community, and you see that on Monday and Wednesday we went to Creekside. On Tuesday, we went to Southern Hills and Oakwood, and each night, our goal was to have a neighborhood cookout and just invite all of the residents that lived in those neighborhoods to come eat with us, play with us, and just fellowship with us. And then we would end the night with a Bible skit that told a story. We would sing some of the songs that the kids have gotten used to on Wednesday nights. And it's funny because I've gotten to see Granny Lynn, who is the grandmother of several of the children, several times in the last couple of weeks. And every time I see her, she says, "You know what I got stuck in my mind again today?" I'm like, "Potato chip, potato chip." All right? If you don't know that song, just ask one of our teenagers and they'll teach it to you, okay? But potato chip, crunchy, crunchy, I love Jesus, a bunchy, bunchy. And you got little children singing that at the top of their lungs. And we're out there at the playgrounds and after their skits and singing it to the top of their lungs. So every single night, our goal was to try to feed the people in the communities. Our goal each night was to feed around 200 to 250. And that was just to make sure that we had enough. So counting our people plus the community people, I'm going to say that we easily fed probably around that 150 to 200 mark each night, because there weren't many burgers or hot dogs left over. And each night it just kind of got bigger and bigger, and it was really something neat to be a part of. So you see some more of the pictures here. These are the children sitting there listening to and watching the skits. Our teenagers did a really good job kind of acting those out for us and then leading the kids in some of the songs. I don't know if you can see some of these real clear, but we even had a mobile stage. I mean, it was amazing, all right? So just picture all of these children and their mothers and their fathers and their grandmothers and their aunties sitting out there and listening to and watching what was going on. And Granny Lynn, by the way, who I mentioned earlier, she would stand there and videotape every single one of them the entire night, just videoing our teenagers doing the skit. And she'd put it on Facebook Live, and then people all over the community started seeing it and started reposting it. At one point, I believe Miss Donna told me that at one point, I think it was after the Monday night, the Monday night skit, that I think 2,000 people had seen the skits and seen the post about Graymere being in the community. So think about the impact that is when people start spreading the news of good things going on. Here's some more pictures of the skits taking place. I don't know if I'm doing it or not, Sean. So just the kids would get out there and play basketball. So here are the results. Here are the results. I tell you a little bit of all that because sometimes I think that we see a number and the number is one and we think that is a small number. But I'm going to tell you, it was really neat watching the excitement on the faces of Jerry Kirk and Amber and Josh as they would go study with Felicia. I think, what was it, Tuesday, either Monday morning or Tuesday afternoon. And then for that afternoon, Wednesday, then for her to become a Christian. I think they studied with her for 2 days, and then she became a Christian. Some of you have had the opportunity to meet her here. We had 10 to 15 new contacts of children who may, and parents who may want their children to come ride the buses with us on Wednesday nights. And I've mentioned this a couple of times. The reason we're asking for so many bus drivers is because we may have to take 3 buses. 55 seats filled up with children. We need the help. And so even when you see 1 or 10 to 15 and you think about all the money and all the manpower and all the hours that went into a week like that, it doesn't sound like a lot. But then when you think about the value of one soul and you realize that Jesus would have bridged that gap for one soul, much less billions of souls, you realize just the work that we were able to do. You realize the fact that we might be able to spend time with 10 to 15 new children that we've never met before, and if they learn the love of Jesus, and if they begin to think about what their life could look like with Jesus in it, it might change their family tree for generations to come. Think about the impact that we may have had just for 3 days in the community. We also continue to build trust, community trust, and appreciation. One of the things that has happened since, I've mentioned Granny Lynn several times, and she's kind of a favorite of ours. Every day she would come out there and kind of mess with us and joke with us at the bridge. But her brother would also be out there. Her brother's name was Stanley. And he would drive by in his S10 pickup, and at some point he would holler to everybody, you know, and he would just, you know, always have a smile on his face and just loving life. But about two weeks ago, I got a text from JD, who was in the picture helping build a bridge. His mom texted and said, "Hey, be praying for us because Stanley has just passed away. He had a stroke, and they thought everything was going to be okay, and then due to complications, they didn't realize what was going on, but he ended up passing away in the hospital." And so then Granny Lynn texted me. Now, I tell you that story because I remember early on when we began looking into the opportunity of an inner city type ministry. I started asking a man named Kenny who works with Nashville Inner City and who helped establish the Pensacola Inner City and worked with the Mobile Inner City. And he said, one of the things that's going to happen, he said, if you do it right, he said, one of the things that's going to happen is the people are going to begin to trust you and they're going to start inviting you into their lives. They're going to start letting you know things like deaths and weddings. They're going to start asking you to be at children's ball games, and they're going to start trusting you. And when you walk up to their front door, they're going to open the door wide open for you because they trust you. And that's what has begun to happen with these families. Now, you don't always get to know about that because you're not a full-time staff minister, but they're always going to call a preacher, right? And so they called me on this day and they said, "Hey, be praying for us. We lost our uncle. We lost our brother." Granny, the mother of Granny Lynn and Stanley and Charles, the other brother, that was her fifth child to lose as a 90-year-old woman. But me and Mr. Jack and Mr. Jerry Kirk got to go to that funeral. And as we were standing there, Charles, the other brother, walked up to us. He gave us a big hug. And here's what he said, and this is what I want to share with you as a church. Not thanks for being here to this funeral. Thank you guys for coming. He said, "I want you to know that Graymere Church is making a difference in these communities. Thank you for what you're doing. Whether it's the bridge that we built physically, the food that we gave out physically, the material blessings that we gave out physically, what's more important is that people are seeing the love of Jesus. Because a people, a group of people, God's people, believe in the power of Jesus to confront and to destroy sin and to take people from one side to the other where they can meet God the Father face to face. That's what we're doing, and people are noticing. And so here's what it might look like as we move into the future." Well, there's Felicia right there. Let me show you these real quick. That was Felicia, and Jerry had the opportunity to baptize her after the 2 days of Bible study. So obviously that was a day of rejoicing. But here's what it might look like. It might look like a ton more kids showing up. Please be praying for us, okay? We're having to constantly think about logistics and think about, what are we going to do if we have 50 kids this year? Hey, you know what? We're going to do the best we can. We're going to keep loving them. We're going to keep bringing them. We're going to keep teaching them about Jesus, and we're going to keep hugging them. We need your manpower. Several things that we do throughout the year as kind of an ongoing mission effort, so to speak, is that, and these things have become kind of a big deal, I think, even though we've only done them once or twice. But last year we had the opportunity to do a Christmas supper for all of the families that were involved in our End of the City ministry. And if you were a part of that, you remember. If you weren't, let me just tell you what it looked like over at Graymere Hall on one of those Wednesday nights. We had 120 people crammed into Graymere Hall trying to eat a Christmas dinner together. We sang together, we talked about Scripture together, and it was awesome. We need help with events like that. Even if you can't be involved on Wednesday nights, we need help with events like that. We need help with things like our neighborhood cookouts from time to time that we do when we're just trying to go out and let people know who we are and let them know that we care about them. We want you to be involved. And here's the third thing, and I don't like asking for money, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. God has blessed this church financially. And one of the things that it takes to make a ministry like this go is some financial support. Every single week, we're trying to give snacks to 35 kids, and that is only going to go up. And so I don't ask for, you know, continued financial donations just because we want to have a bunch of money at hand. We're spending it. We are doing everything we can to keep up with what these kids need. And let me also say that there are times when we're having the opportunity to help them beyond a snack or beyond a meal. But people are beginning to come. These parents, these grandparents, these aunties, these family members are beginning to come to Graymere more and more often and simply say, I need your help. As a matter of fact, got a call on Monday. No, what was it? Thursday morning. And one of the moms called and said, hey, I need your help. And I said, come on, let's go eat lunch together. So I called Miss Debbie, and we took her out to lunch, and we've got a Bible study set up for Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Why? Because she trusts the people at Graymere. And she was willing to sit there with some guy who, you know, tries to minister every once in a while, and Miss Debbie, who is phenomenal as a bus rider, and who just sat there and told us all about her life. While Miss Debbie said, okay, you need to try this, you need to think about this, and you need to, and it was awesome. I loved hearing that conversation. People are wanting more and more, not just physically, but spiritually, and that's what this ministry is all about. So July was a success for us, and we've just finished our second night of kind of our prep for us to bring all of these kids on Wednesday night. Keep praying for us, and if you think you might want to be involved in this ministry at all, just come talk to me and let me know what you're willing to do to plug in. To close, I want us to remember the bridge called Jesus Christ. There is nothing you can do to step over the chasm of sin. There's nothing you can do to swim through it, to climb through it, to crawl through it. You have to have Jesus. Jesus who, in Romans 5, where Paul says, for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. The more that I see the hurt in this world, the more I realize just how much I need Jesus. Do you need Jesus tonight? I know you do if you don't have him already. And if you've got him, hang on to that salvation. Hang on to all that he is and share that love with others. But if you need Jesus tonight because you've never put him on in baptism, let him bridge the gap so that you can see life again. If you need the prayers of the church, come to Jesus. Whatever your needs are, will you come to Jesus as we stand and sing together?
In heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, and cast me not away from